All right, good morning. Welcome to Cellular Healing TV. Dr. Pompa's over here.
Aha.
And I'm right here.
Together.
So we have a great show for you today. We've been watching a lot of the news and in the news right now, and this is almost like a last minute decision to do what we're doing. If we're a little fuzzy, internet's slow, but the Ebola virus, the flu vaccines. And as a matter of fact, at this seminar that Dr. Pompa's teaching at here at Systemic Formulas in Ogden, Utah, Systemic is a premier doctors only line that we use Actually, Dr. Pompa works with biophysicists. He probably is that too, but biochemist Dr. Shane Morris, who's a PhD, who heads up the research and development at Systemic. They have worked on some new products that actually are really cutting edge. I don't know how much Dr. Pompa can share, but they are going to release it at the event. But they worked together on the 5R products, the intercellular detox system, some of the world-changing products that many of you love and enjoy to transform your health in life by removing the cause, restoring methylation, that's what's so exciting. It's not just this for that, as Dr. Pompa would say. It's like, let's get to the cause and restore life. So Dr. Pompa, there is this massive epidemic right now with the Ebola, the scare, the fear. And as we know, in sales and marketing, fear drive people to make decisions.
Right.
So all of a sudden, magically there's this vaccine that's going to save your life.
Who didn't know that was going to happen?
Yeah. So, I mean, sometimes you don't want to be a conspiracy theorist necessarily, but you want to call a spade a spade. And if that was me, I'd be thinking, I wonder if that, news story was on accident, because a lot of the media drives sales. So Dr. Pompa, let's come at this myth of the flu and the truth about Ebola and the history of it and some of the things that people can do so we can dispel the fear so you can make sound decisions about your health and life here on Cellular Healing TV.
Yeah, I've gotten so many emails about the Ebola. I've gotten so many emails about the flu shot. This time of year, forget it. So, we will talk about the flu shot, but let's start with the breaking news about Ebola, hitting the shores here in the United States. I mean, I would say who didn't think that would happen, right? I don't understand why the current administration, wouldn't keep people from flying into that country and out of that country, unless you were some type of really supervised or screened person going in there for a really good reason. But they didn't, so it hit the shores. Now, look, there's conspiracy theorists out there that, because the U.S. government has a patent on the Ebola virus, actually I believe it's the CDC, the U.S. government through the NIH has a patent on with Glaxo Welcome, but I think they hold the patent, not Glaxo Welcome. So, or whatever it's called, Smith, Glaxo, Welcome, they changed their name and became the big conglomerate of vaccinations and therefore drugs. But look, I don't believe the whole thing was set up by any means from the point of, bring someone here and let's let Ebola go crazy, although I've seen that conspiracy. I don't believe that for a second. But what I do believe is that our government, the NIH, with the CDC, and of course the drug companies, will take advantage of any scare. Look, it has been a strategy from the beginning with all vaccinations, including the flu, saying that, hey, look, people are gonna die. They use fear and they drive it. Now look, I've said for years that the flu kills the very young, and the old, and it's not the 35,000 people dying from the flu of a year. It's probably more like 3,000 or 35 or 4,000. Look at that fear-mongering that the average person is going to die from the flu. I know you could think of, well, this guy, 35 years old, died from the flu, because they do. They put those all over the newspapers. But again, what they don't tell you is there was an immune-compromised situation there. And of course, the flu could kill you in an immune compromised situation. But the flu is normal. It's actually part of building a healthy microbiome. It's part of building a normal, healthy microvirome, which is viruses that we build antibodies to. And it's normal. It's healthy, just like the common cold.
Quick question.
Yes.
Immune compromised. What are some of those people watching? Maybe I'm immune compromised. Is it because of, I don't even know, cancer, something like that.
Someone's immune system can drop for a period of time. That's how you get the flu or a cold,
right?
So, we're exposed to these viruses. So when people run around washing their hands all the time, it's really almost ridiculous. And I think there's other benefits to that, especially when you're handling food, things like that. But, it's not like you're going to avoid the cold or that virus going around.
You're not,
It's just ubiquitous through the environment. So, if someone in your house has it, you've been exposed to it. Now, you will harbor that virus, and then all of a sudden your immune system drops temporarily via stress, a hard exercise workout. I mean, there's many things that just temporarily drop it. And then that virus can, you know, get its root or its hold, and then you become sick. So that's...
But the people who die
right,
from
that's what
it,
I was gonna say.
Okay, you're going there. Okay.
Yeah, so the people who really have long-term immune compromise, you know, are in fact elderly people, right, mm-hmm. that are very old, very immune compromised, very unhealthy. I mean, again, just because you're elderly doesn't mean you're immune compromised. There's very healthy elderly people.
The so people are healthy. They're 90 years old that are healthier than
absolutely.
I am.
Absolutely. And have amazing yeah. immune systems. Right. So let's rephrase that. Elderly who are very sickly. Okay. And just because you're a small child or infant, that doesn't mean that you're immune compromised either, especially if you're nursing, because now you have your mother's you know, antibodies. Mm-hmm. So now let's talk about a baby who's not nursing. I think they're at risk. I do. I think that puts them at greater risk. Let's talk about a baby who is being bottle fed with mostly sugars, bad fats.
Corn syrup.
Yeah. I mean, that child absolutely is more immune compromised. There is no doubt about it. So do you want that child to get the flu? And even that said, most of those children will not die. You know, but there is that remote possibility. But then we have to back out. Let's hit this at the other part of the show, because
yep.
I don't want to get too far, of course. There is that possibility, you know, well, should we get the flu shot? I mean, should we get the flu shot? We'll handle that in a moment. But let's go back to the Ebola virus. The Ebola virus is life-threatening, I guess, is the point, unlike the flu, right? There is no cure outside the body. Well, guess what, folks? There's no cure outside the body for the flu either. So the Ebola virus is no different that way than the flu, except that, you know, your chances of dying are very, very high. Obviously, your body literally eats itself. You bleed out of every orifice. You know, the virus attacks that strong, that quick. So, you know, there is a great threat. Do we want this to hit you know, this country in a massive way? Absolutely not. But our government, the drug companies, are going to use fear-mongering to spread a vaccination that, you're right, Warren, just magically appeared. All of a sudden now it's going to be available in weeks, this vaccine. Okay, so
here's the big problem. What do we don't know that vaccine is going to cause Ebola?
Well, that's the problem. They're getting it. It's a cold virus. A conglomeration from chimpanzees. It's some type of virus that the Galaxy Welcome says, oh, and amazingly, it's not that dangerous. You know, so we're talking about getting these viruses from chimpanzees or similar viruses that I'm sure they harbor them from that, you know, just like many of the putting it into this vaccine. By the way, these vaccines.
That's scarier than Ebola itself, because.
Here's what's happened. They're going to take 60 healthy people and test it on 60 healthy people. Normally, these tests take 1 to 2 years, probably more like 2 years of testing. And then they come out and say, okay, you know, we're considering this one safe. Well, this isn't happening with this. They're gonna test this on 60 healthy humans. Folks, you can sign up. We'll put the link below if you wanna be one of those 60 to get injected by this vaccine. I'm kidding. I wouldn't suggest that. But can you believe that someone's going to volunteer for that? Someone who's very scared to probably get this virus, you know. But they will have people lining up. Maybe a month, maybe two. I don't know when it'll hit. But they will have people lining up to get this vaccination.
That's scary.
Yeah, that's very scary. So, you know, once again, I'm going to say this to protect myself. I'm not telling anyone not to take the vaccination. I'm not telling anyone not to take any medication, but I'm telling you better educate yourself about what's in this vaccination, how it works, the mechanisms, how it works better. You better educate yourself on if you should take the flu shot or not, and we'll get to that subject.
There's major risks here, you know, and what scares me and the fear that I have right now is there's been Ebola into this country a few times before, and it's been contained.
Right.
But in both of those times, there wasn't this vaccine push. And so why now? When this exposure, these one or two people that have it are no different than before, but all of a sudden now the vaccine is being pushed. And that, you know, has many risks, because that could actually, in some way, the virus could mutate in these 60 mm-hmm. and then really spread it, and we have a worldwide epidemic.
Yeah, I mean, I don't believe for a second we're going to have this massive Ebola epidemic in this country.
Neither do I.
I do believe that this vaccine, the vaccine is going to cause more problems, just like the flu vaccine, than the disease itself. As deadly as this virus is compared to the flu vaccine, we are going to have major, major problems with the vaccine, possibly more. You know, we look at the Gardasil vaccination, you know, that's, you know, affecting so many young teenagers today. It's so sad. And the whistleblower, William Campbell, came out from the CDC. He admitted his wrong with what happened with Andrew Wakefield. And those watching this, if you don't know who he is, brilliant doctor. And he exposed the fact that the measles, the MMR vaccine, was in fact causing inflammatory bowel conditions like Crohn's and colitis. He later linked it to autism. That was, I think, back in 1993. It went on. He published 19 other papers showing this to be true. The media, powered by the drug companies and our government, went after the poor guy. It wasn't until, I guess, 2011 that other studies, independent studies, started coming out that showed that he was in fact right. By 2013, they basically said, okay, this guy was in fact right. This year, months ago, this gentleman from the CDC came out and, because of massive guilt, came out and admitted that they hid the numbers, they faked the numbers, and Andrew Wakefield has been, you know, basically
exonerated,
yeah. Proven right, you know, and yet we've heard very, very little about that. And this man made New York Times, folks, you know, quack, autism, you know, I mean, you name it, the headlines read that this guy was somehow a quack. And they put it, I mean, they shamed him. They shamed him, his family, and everybody associated with him. And that was a shame because his research was true. So in fact, the MMR vaccine, he did improve. I can state this because it's scientific fact from his studies and others that it does in fact lead to Crohn's, colitis, and autism. So look, you know, we know, and I've had discussions with him about vaccines, and Maverick, we were going to have him at one of our seminars, and we still might, but that the flu vaccine is causing more problems than it's solving, obviously. In the Gardasil vaccine, I'm going to go full circle here. So that other, the gentleman who came out about the MMR vaccine, he says, you know, actually the bigger scam, really, the bigger shame of it all is the Gardasil vaccine. Wait till that comes out. Wait till the cover-up comes out about how many people are, in fact, dying and have permanent paralysis and other neurological deficits because of the Gardasil vaccine.
Yeah, it's horrible.
So, yeah, I mean, so this stuff is starting to come out, but mainstream media, you're not seeing it. So, you know, that's a true conspiracy. I mean, that's one that's really not, you know, contrived. I mean, this is real, folks. If you have any, you know, thought in your mind to get a flu vaccine, your child a Gardasil vaccine, any vaccine, do your homework first. Make a very, very educated decision. Women watching this, moms, all of you have that, just that gut feeling. I know, because I hear the stories, that gut feeling that maybe I shouldn't do this. There's something just not right about it. I'm telling you, that gut feeling is what you'll hear from every autistic mom, every child, you know, mother of a child who's been damaged. They say, you know, I just had that feeling.
Yep.
And I was so scared. But I, you know, the fear of not doing it and being criticized, you know, what about schools? What about all these things is greater than that gut feeling. We've all, Warren, we've all pushed through that gut feeling, right?
And it's always been wrong.
It's always wrong. So please,
every
listen to your gut feeling, and at least take the gut feeling and do your research, and then you can at least, you know, overcome the fear with knowledge. And that's really what you have to do oftentimes, right? You know, if you read the things that I'm reading, and it's not hard to find these days with the internet, you know, I think that you'll make a very educated decision. I think you'll think again, so, on the vaccine issue.
Yeah.
So, okay. So that's the opening for the show. There's a lot there, obviously. We are always skeptical about vaccines, and, you know, to put this Ebola vaccine in you just because of the fear, and they're going to use this fear, and it's going to be easy because this one, they don't have to make things up. I mean, like the flu vaccine, they make it seem like, you know, average people are going to get the flu and die. This one, yeah, healthy people can die from this. But by the way, you know, I still believe if you're very healthy and you get Ebola, you know, you can live. There's people obviously that live from Ebola, you know, and there's no treatment. You know, and I think they gave the one guy that serum and he lived. But again, I mean, you know, several have lived before that without anything. So whether the serum has done anything or not, we're not certain. They're not certain. But regardless, if you are very healthy, you know, that's obviously the way to, you know, to go. But look, you know, again, will the vaccine protect you? Again, that's another topic, and you know,
can of worms. So, what can people, the average person, do to naturally increase their immune system? And I know that some of these even phages that are out there in the market today, and other companies, I know that.
I mean, Warren's, you know, I think he wants me to talk about the new product. I mean, he's leaning that way, but I think we can't, because actually, you all would hear this first. We are releasing a new product, bacteriophage. You know, is something that's, you know, been on my plate now for over a year, and just very.
It's actually on everybody's plate.
Yeah, that's a different story. Exactly right. We talked about the importance of the microbiome, right? That's all these bugs that are all over us. I mean, literally all over us and in us. Mm-hmm. And we've learned through the microbiome project, folks. And again, we're talking about all these bugs that are in and around us. And the microbiome project 5 years ago, I think it was six, maybe, you know, they brought the greatest minds together. And what we've learned is that, you know, we have, you know, far more of these bugs, 10 times the amount of these bugs in our gut, these bacteria, than our own cells in our body. And they share information with our cells. And that we know now that we don't make certain hormones, certain immune cells, without sharing information with these bugs, that many of which we thought were bad in the old days. So that old theory of running in, again, hand sanitizers, all the antibiotic soaps, and taking antibiotics, we've realized that we've disrupted this microbiome.
And actually, Dr. Shane Morris was in Washington, D.C. with all the minds. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that MDs and researchers are saying, we need to stop giving antibiotics out the way that they're doing.
There's a massive gap, and this is something I would say was happening in the scientific world, in what's happening in the treatment world. So, you know, Dr. Shane went there last week to Washington, and matter of fact, there was a woman there from the Obama administration, and really representing the White House. She'll go on to the next administration as well. And their thing is, you know, finding out what is going on in this area of research, and how important it is, and how much money we can give to this area of research. That's, you know, how important this area is. And they had the greatest minds, really. You know, when we asked Shane who was there, he said everybody. Everybody. You know, meaning everybody in his world, everybody in this world, you know, of the, you know, biochemistry and the microbiome, everyone interested in it. So, but what he meant was all the very, very important people.
Yeah.
But what they, you know, say, they're saying is all the antibiotics, and by the way, 70% of the antibiotics that are given are actually in livestock. So we're creating a lot of these resistant bacteria from the antibiotics given to livestock, and we're eating these animals, we're eating this meat, and it's really creating a lot of problems. That's why, folks, organic grass-fed meat, it is one of the biggest changes you can make. I mean, massive, massive change. So we're creating a lot of problems in humans with resistant bacteria. Of course, then we're taking it. We're giving it antibiotics for things like earaches, strep throat, which antibiotics were never, ever invented for, by the way.
And they don't work for it.
No, absolutely. I mean, it really, so much debate there. I know the fear, again, you know, we could, a whole other show, right? Yeah. I mean, you know, going down there, you're going to get rheumatic fever. I mean, I know all the things, but again, if you did your homework, you'd go, really?
So what are the chances of that? Oh, 1 in 10 million?
And the fact is, kids who have been on multiple rounds of antibiotics, they're a greater risk for rheumatic fever. So, I mean, the strep throat thing, really, it's the kids who are taking the antibiotics that are the ones that are at the greatest risk. So, whole nother topic, folks. But the bottom line is, the overuse of antibiotics, we're wiping out our microbiome. These scientists are saying, we've got a problem here. You know, we are creating hormone dysregulation. We're creating obesity. We're creating all these new things, this immune, autoimmune, all these things we talk about on the show, because we're wiping out this microbiome.
Oh, Dr. Shane told us this. The reason they give antibiotics to cows isn't for death. or, you know, to protect them from disease. It's because it triggers a gene. It kills off bacteria and they actually get fatter. They get obese.
That's right.
And that's what they do with chickens too. It makes them gain weight.
Look, we can look. This is what's cool.
That might change your mind to research. If you take antibiotics, it's going to make you fat.
That'll change people. That'll change.
Yeah,
we can look at your microbiome, your bacteria set, and it's pretty expensive to do, so it's not like we can do it daily, but they're doing this in studies. And we can look at an obese person or a person who has trouble losing weight and go, oh, okay, they have too much of these guys and not enough of these bacteria, okay? So this is what's crazy. There's a pattern. You have a certain pattern of a microbiome. Diabetics, certain pattern. Too much of these, not enough of these. So research is showing, well, how can we balance this out? Well, look, folks, it's the stuff that we're talking about. Fermentation, eating organic foods, staying away from genetically modified foods that contain glyphosate, which is causing a disruption in your internal microbiome. Yes, eating corn, which 93% of the corn on the market right now is in fact GMO, causes holes in your gut, disrupts your microbiome, and yes, can make you fat, yes, can make you not be able to lose weight, and cause hormone dysregulation. The studies are stacking up on one another, showing how these GMO, genetically modified foods, are causing problems. And I'll tell you, we have just hitting the surface of the research that is showing that it is the most dangerous things human can eat. Look, you want to get healthy, start by taking all grains out of your diet. The hybridization, the genetically modified, the sprays, the chemicals, take grains out of your diet.
Get them out.
Take grain-fed meat out of your diet. Watch what happens to you and your family's health. So, you know,
and your immune system.
No doubt about it. So look, how do you become this healthy person? And we know that our microbiome, stop using hand sanitizers. That's how you prevent the dank flu, because my microbiome is going to protect me. I'm not afraid. I'll walk into, you know, the hospitals and the places and, you know, with no fear, I'm not going to get it. And if I do, I will beat it down. So if I walk in on an immune compromised day, it's not about avoidance. It's about knowing that my immune system will in fact deal with it. So, you know, it's stop the insanity. You're not going to hide from the bugs. You're not going to kill the bugs. Stop that. Make sure there's nothing in your soaps that says triclosan. It is a nasty, nasty.
They're going to pull
chemical.
That off the market eventually.
Eventually. But right now we know
cancer.
It causes liver cancer, right? Liver disease. I mean, all kinds of problems, you know. Kidney problems, I mean, the list goes on. It's in all the antibacterial things. You want a great insecticide, mix your antibacterial hand soaps in some water, and it works as an insecticide and a weed killer, so use it for that. But don't put it on your body.
Yeah, the guy that does the around our office, that's what he uses. He puts that into his sprayer, sprays it, and it kills all the weeds. So
stop killing your microbiome.
Yep.
You know, you want good skin, you want good immunity, stop there. You know, again, antibiotics, could they save your life at a time? Absolutely, no doubt. Stop using Z-Packs for every sinus infection. Stop using, let your body get sick, even if it takes a little longer. Your immune system, every time you fight something naturally, gets stronger and stronger and stronger.
It's like a library. You're
stores it.
Yeah, it stores it. It's like a library, so it learns how to deal with these complex viruses and you know, obviously, you know, a lot of viruses cause cancer.
Yeah.
And so if you're smart, your body's smart, and you've allowed it to get the things it's supposed to get over time, it does give you a better chance, according to research, not even to get cancer. So there's a good reason to go through a little bit of that pain or to stay at home with your kid that day. That investment is investing into their future because you're investing in their microbiome.
Well said, actually. I mean, every time your child gets the flu, gets a cold, it's an investment into their health later. Every time you allow your child to go through that sickness. And by the way, again, another show, giving your kid aspirin and Advil and Tylenol to lower the fever is irresponsible. Only a doctor should make a decision to lower a fever. Even then, I'd be very cautious, meaning that there is a time, right? I mean, the fever can rise to such a high level, but it's not from the flu. I'll tell you that right now. And it's not from the average infection. Meningitis, you know, absolutely, you know, that's not a normal infection. You know, that could be a time to lower the fever. If you take, if your child swallows poison, the fever could rise to a level that would cause brain damage. But it's not going to happen from a normal virus like the flu. You know, a fever is there for a reason. What's it doing? It's killing off the virus. It's rising up to 102, 103. And by the way, genetically, some people even go to 105. My son, Daniel, always spike these 105 fevers.
Her last Tula went through a...
I remember.
Yeah, I forget what the name of it was. Yeah, she was like 104, 105.
104, 105, yeah.
And a lot of our friends got that same bug, whatever it was. It's one of the common ones. And they did use aspirin, you know, and to lower it. And Tula, she was normal. At 104 temperature, she's playing. I mean, she's a little, you know, not as her bubbly self, but it's only when it got up, you know, a little above 104 that she got, you know, I don't feel well, mommy, you know. And but she would, we would lower it doing, I don't even know what we did. I did what you told us to do. Yeah. I can't remember what it was.
Yeah,
I usually call Dr. Bump.
Yeah, put some peppermint oil on their forehead.
I have that ability.
Yeah.
So I don't have to remember.
You don't want to lower. You can make your child comfortable even with like wet compresses.
Yeah, we did that.
You know, some peppermint oil dissipates heat. Evaporation dissipates heat. But you don't want to lower their core temperature
because
the core temperature is up to deal with the virus. Viruses can't multiply over 102.
So the bathtub thing isn't good.
Yeah, I mean, it can lower their core temperature too much.
Yeah.
And the
it's core, like a warm bath.
Right. Something. That's why compresses are better. But it's viruses don't multiply over in bacteria over certain temperatures. So when the body in its innate amazing intelligence raises it up to that over that temperature, now it's going to win the battle. It gives the immune system a chance to actually beat it back as long as it's not multiplying faster than it can win. So does it make sense to lower the, just to make your child feel more comfortable, to lower the temperature? Now you're working against the immune system. So a lot of these viruses and bacteria are able to go deeper at those points. And then you don't build up the amount of memory cells that you need. And therefore, it's creating immune problems later. So that's why lowering a temperature is very dangerous. I think most people watching this, moms would say, well, when do you make that decision? If your child is delirious, you know, not with it, literally, you know, not responding, take your child to the hospital. Don't lower the fever yourself. There's something else wrong. So, you know, look for, you know, delusion. You know, I remember years ago, Dr. Robert Mendelsohn, he was a pediatrician who really wrote the book, a degree book on how to raise kids, you know, when he was saying, this antibiotic thing, this is crazy.
Dr. Robert Mendelsohn.
He was right. Dr. Robert Mendelsohn, I'll give you the book. It's still out there. How to raise kids, how to raise healthy kids despite your medical doctor. How to raise healthy kids despite your medical doctor. That is a really quick read. Fantastic. It tells you when you should take your kid to the hospital, when you're not. He said the most dangerous visit, hospital, or pediatrician visit, is the well visit. He says that's the most dangerous visit because what happens is you go there and they find things to do and to give your child. So that's from a pediatrician. So that's not my words. That's from his words. But read the book. He talks about the real reality of vaccinations. Years ago, he was on this. He talks about the real reality of rheumatic fever, antibiotics, strep throat, earaches, etc. So.
Some Christmas presents for your friends. Get on Amazon, buy, you know, 10 of them and hand them out to all the moms. And talk about getting over fears, but we have to educate ourselves and save lives. And so empower your friends. Sell your hands. Share this show after
done. Share the show.
Share the show with your friends.
This is information that you need. Okay, so let's talk about real fast things you can do. We have a few minutes left. Things you can do just to keep your immune system up. I started it by saying stop the madness, right?
Yeah.
Stop this. You know, for eating fermented foods really improves your microbiome, which is your first
your
round
immune
of
system.
Protection. Right?
Everyone's heard that. Your gut is your immune system.
Yeah, exactly. So fermented vegetables, fermented dairy products like we carry at Beyond Organic. These are
the
grass-fed
yeah.
products, the Amasi, the Swear Gold. I mean, you know, these are natural protectors. And they are putting bacteria that you can't get in a pill in your gut that help your immune system work better.
So, and by the way, if you're coming to our store launch on October 11th, a Saturday coming up in Pittsburgh area, Dr. Pump is going to be there and doing a talk. And then also we're going to have some of those products.
So, vitamin D levels in the winter this time of year
huge.
Are important, right? So taking extra vitamin D, obviously if people can't get in the sun. You know, if you're one that's not good at taking pills, you don't have to take it every day. You could take 20, 30,000 units at one time twice a week, right? That's what I do too. Ah, just throw it down. Take it with food, your biggest meal, instead of having
to
take it every day.
And if you're eating grass-fed dairy and cheeses, you're getting lots of vitamin D, vitamin K.
So always, caution, always take vitamin D in with other fat-soluble vitamins. If you're taking, go look at your cabinet now, if it's vitamin D, without K, without A, without these other fat-soluble vitamins, you can create functional deficiencies. DV3, is the product that we love, or the and it's from Systemic Formulas, and they have a liquid version too. So fermented foods, you know, vitamin D. You know, if someone is immune compromised, there's a product called GT. It's G, capital GT, from Systemic Formulas, and it's a thymus product. Some people have a weakened thymus, and that plays into a longer-term weakened immune system, and I would recommend that product.
I'm taking it.
Absolutely. Also, simply the G cell in the bind, the IDS system. G cell raises glutathione, which, you know, is part of it too. And again, we take that just maintenance. You know, I take it every once in a while. You know, 3 or 4 G cell at a time. You know, I don't even take it every day, but I maintain my intracellular glutathione levels. G cell is, well, that's what it was designed to do. You know, it is way more powerful than vitamin C. You know, I mean, glutathione in your cell is 5,000 times more effective as an antioxidant than, in fact, vitamin C. ASEA is amazing because it helps balance this redox, that's the reduction and oxidation that your immune system utilizes. So therefore, if your body doesn't oxidize normally, your immune system doesn't work normally. So ASEA is something I would also recommend. If you start feeling like you're getting sick, I would do 10, 12 ounces the days that you start feeling like you're getting sick. And it's a liquid, folks. ASEA, A-S-E-A, is how you spell that. And you can call the number on our website, and one of the gals can help you
with Meredith
that.
Or Aaron will have that.
Yeah. So ASEA is what I take. And so the vitamin D, the ASEA, the GT, and one more, GA adrenals. If your adrenals get down, you're not going to adapt to stress. That's a problem. Capital G, small a, adrenals. Those are the basics, you know, than the G cell that I mentioned. So
then what if someone gets sick?
Yeah. There's a product called VIVI that's Systemic Cells. It's one of our favorites, right?
Yeah.
And
I
that's,
carry it with
that's
me everywhere I go.
So, okay, now I'm going to spill the news. Like Warren said, he wanted me to get to this. And
we're going to be late for the systemic event.
So we are launching a product about these bacteriophage. And there's two bacteriophage products on the market. And I'll just say this. It's actually literally a virus that injects its DNA into, it'll go into even itself, into the bacteria, bad guys. The cool thing about phage is they don't mess like an antibiotic with your good bacteria. We can use these guys to target bad guys and leave your good guys alone. The Russians and the Western Europe, they use these things as first line of defense, antibiotics. And it works. I mean, this is nothing new. I mean,
this is all over Europe, yeah.
Absolutely. But, you know,
European hospitals,
they're natural. So, you know, drug companies can't put patents on these things. But these phages are amazing how they work. They're target specific. They, one of the big problems is we're trying to get good bacteria. Many of you are taking probiotics, eating fermented foods, and your gut's still just not right. A lot of these bacteria just aren't able to take take hold, basically. So it's like kind of trying to plant in an area.
It's too many
plants.
Weeds.
Right, too many weeds, and those are the bad guys. Yep. And it's soil that just doesn't make the good guys flourish, right?
Yeah.
So you're trying to plant your tomato plants and wondering why they're not growing
fruit.
There's
no good soil, yeah.
So what these guys do is they come in, they target all the weeds, they're taking all the nutrients away, and now the good guys can flourish. So it's really a prebiotic, if you will. But we can target bad guys. Look, the time that I've been using these things, I've had great success with multiple different types of conditions, even including autoimmune. But this new product, I can't tell why it's so different than what's out on the market, but it is. And this is the first round of what we're able to produce. And we're going to keep expanding how many of these phages are in the product as we're able to create more of them. But amazing stuff, folks. You know, phages are natural in our body. They're everywhere. Matter of fact, what do you say? We have 100 times more bacteriophage in us than our cells. So we have 10 times more bacteria. We have 100 times more of these little viruses that protect us.
The microbiome.
Yeah.
So it's their cells. The
microbiome.
Yeah. 10 times more. What's the first one?
Microbiome.
Microbiome is 10 times your cells, and then another 100 times.
So you've heard it here first, that this is new research. I mean, it's
the microbiome.
I'm telling
you,
this is brand new stuff. How important our viruses are, our microbiome. I'm doing a lecture on it today, and you know, that's why we're here in this hotel. So can't wait. brand new stuff. Stay tuned. We'll talk more about it when we can talk more about it. But working with some really, really bright biochemists and
thank God for Dr. Shane Morris and Systemic.
So. Yeah, and others that have really led to some of these discoveries. And I'm the guy who makes it sound more simple. I'm the guy who brings it to you all. And we always try to bring these things first because we are on the cutting edge. I see people who have unexplainable conditions that they were given no hope for. Yeah. And I'll tell you this, and I had a conversation, and you might be watching now, with a client of mine, and I said, man, you and your condition has inspired me, to really dig in some of these holes that really, I have loads of different studies on my computer just because of this one case that this gentleman has been everywhere trying to solve. The Mayo Clinic everywhere. I mean, he's a go-getter, and yet no one has helped his problem. So, it really inspires us to do some deeper research, and here we are. Now it's going to benefit other people. So a lot of this research is absolutely amazing. We're going to keep bringing it to our viewers. So stay tuned because, like I said, I'm just kind of giving you some glimpses of what we're doing. So these are the things you can really do to get your body to fight off, these viruses and everything that we're fear-mongering about. Listen, there's nothing better than what God has already put in your body, your immune system. Has an innate intelligence that knows better than any man, me, him, any doctor. And all we can do responsibly is remove the interferences, let the body do the healing.
Every time.
Every time.
Get to the heal a cell, get well, guys. Thanks for watching. Share it with your friends. We'll see you next week. Signing off from Ogden, Utah, Dr. Pompa Moore Films. Take care, guys. Have a blessed week.